Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. This is an encore presentation of The Savage Nation.
You know, Hillary gave interviews the other day on CNN and Fox, and they were a disaster. They were underwhelming, they're calling them. She went on to two heavily promoted interviews with Teddy Bear Brett, who will never, ever recover from this embarrassing performance, and Scarface on Fox. And the ratings were lower than they were the day before Hillary. Hillary is not going to be elected. Hillary is unelectable. Doesn't mean she might not win. I said she won't be elected. I didn't say she wouldn't be president. She might be coronated the way Obama was. She's not electable. The people don't like her. They've had enough. 8 years of the Clintons is enough for anyone, even Democrats. They don't want another old party hack that they've seen before. They don't want more of those staring, psychotic eyes. They don't want any more of that shrill insanity. They've had enough of her. Of course, Fox can't get enough of her, but the people have had enough of her. And the question is, who on the Democrat side has the guts and the money to run against her in the primary? Would they be any different? Would they be any better? There are rumors that Jerry Brown may jump in at age 98. And running the primaries against Hillary. That would be interesting to see if he can do it without his wife telling him what to say. I hope so. I mean, I hope he can may present a little more centrist image than Hillary. I don't know who else could run. I know who's going to run on the Democrat side. Maybe Jesse Jackson could come back for an encore appearance and give us another marble mouth double talk job. So we don't know. We're moving into 14s, midterms, then you got the 16s, big terms. And now we got Iraq on our hands all over again. There we go again with the very same crowd calling for blood again. Paul Wolfowitz, there they go again. The very same crowd that got us in Iraq the first place have come back from the swamp. And there they are again. And anyone who criticizes them and says it's the neocons, they scream it's anti-Semitism. I mean, I've heard that before. I've heard that racket used before. I don't go for it. I don't buy it. You know, there are people whose policies transcend their race, and in this case, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with stupid policies that caused the disaster before, and they're going to cause a disaster again. So you say, well, what would you do? Okay, Savage, we heard your point. You don't want American troops. You don't want American bombers in northern Iraq. By the way, that's the old Sunni triangle. If you want to go all the way back to the Iraq war, and you want to hear what I said about the Sunni triangle back in 04 and 05, you could probably find it on YouTube. It was not a very, very pleasant prognosis for the Sunni triangle, and I had some choice words. I said, fence it off. Fence the entire Sunni triangle off. Give the people 3 days to leave, and then bomb the entire Sunni triangle, because it's never, ever going to be peaceful, ever. Now, I was roundly criticized for it. I was called everything under the sun. Well, here we go again. The disease is back. After how many men were lost, how many limbs were lost, to take each town, each village, each house, house by house, our men sacrificed their blood and their guts. And look what's happening now because of Obama's cut-and-run policies. Now, don't be fooled by the Democrats who are lying again, like they called Benghazi a stunt over and over again until they pulled the so-called mastermind out of a hat. Now, it wasn't the stunt anymore. Now, they got serious about Benghazi. They'll tell you that Obama really didn't cut and run because he wanted to. They'll tell you that Malaki did not want our troops to stay there. That's a lot of rubbish. Didn't matter what Malaki wanted. What mattered was what Obama wanted, not what Malaki wanted. But if you want to go all the way back, how come Malaki did not give us so much as a barrel of oil for the $3 trillion in plain dollars and cents that it cost us to put that stooge in power? How come this government did not extract one barrel of oil in exchange for the $3 trillion that bankrupted this nation? I can answer the question. The answer is Saudi Arabia and the Seven Sister Oil Companies. You want the answer? I'll make it real simple. Right in the barrel head. We're talking over a cracker barrel in an old American town. How come after $3 trillion and all the American blood on that rotten, stinking, ancient soil, we didn't get so much as a barrel of oil from those despicable Shiites. How come they didn't give us a barrel of oil? It's because this government said, don't give us a barrel of oil. Give us nothing. We don't want to see the price of oil drop. No, we don't want to see it drop. We want to see oil go up in value. Now, maybe this is too much for everybody. I realize world events can give you a major league migraine. I mean, they really can. And then people withdraw into themselves. The people are overloaded. They have had enough of the government doublespeak. They cannot take it anymore. Remember what Orwell wrote about doublespeak? You're getting doublespeak from double barrels every day of the week, not only from Obama, but all of his talking heads. When in your lifetime have you ever seen politicians giving speeches at college graduations to the extent that you see them now? All left-wing fanatics. When have you ever seen politicians giving speeches? Where are our poets? Where are our scientists? Where are our architects? Where are our bridge engineers? Where are the leading military men? Why are they not giving commencement addresses? Why is it these rotten, stinking left-wing party hacks like out of the Soviet Union? That's the last time I ever saw anything like this. In the ex-Soviet Union, it was the Soviet Politburo members who gave the speeches at the colleges to brainwash the next generation of drug addicts and sex maniacs sitting there in the audience with their caps and gowns, waiting to run out to their next orgy and their next drug. That's what went on in the ex-Soviet Union, without the drugs and the orgies. It was the Politburo people who gave the commencement speeches. Where are our leading intellectuals in our country today? Why have you not heard anything from anyone other than a left-wing party hack? When? Who gave a speech at a commencement address who was not a politician? Well, if you can name one, it was probably another left-wing fanatic who pronounces the party's policies to be correct, politically perfect. So those are some of my observations. I think I'm going to switch to another topic in a minute. I think I'm going to switch to vacation sites in the world that you've gone to that you recommend. I think that might be good. I think I'm going to give up on politics for a segment. Oh, my God, Benghazi question. Is she still on that book tour? Is she leaving us alone now? Every time I see those bug eyes, I get freaked out. She scares me, that one. You know, I watch Obama, I see like a dead soul, to be honest with you. I look at him talk, I see a dead soul. Brilliant man, but dead. Like a soulless individual. I look at her, she scares me to my bone. Every time she's being interviewed, she opens the eyebrow. It's like she gives people a death stare. They call her like Manson lamps in prison. Well, she gives you like Manson lamps. She freezes reporters with them. I'm talking about Hillary. If they dare ask a single question that's real, right away, bingo, on come the Manson lamps. Like, go ahead, make my day. Keep going down that road. We'll make sure that you jog in Marcy Park after the show. we'll tie the chips on your car into the NSA. We'll make sure that it goes 150 miles an hour off the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I just gave him a bad idea. That's why I drive the old Jaguar, the 1970, because it has no chips in it. It fumes a little bit, but there's no computer chips in that car. I don't see how the NSA can get control of my old Jag. I can hardly get control of it half the time. I don't see how some idiot with a joystick can get control of it. I don't believe you, Paul Ryan Levels, blistering attack against IRS boss over lost emails. Storage war star suffers double brain aneurysm. Are you kidding me? That's a news story. Storage war star suffers double brain aneurysm. I could get a triple brain aneurysm watching that show just as I'm scanning channels. Every time it's another thing about this fat woman with a big behind. I don't know why she's in there. It's every day. It's impossible. It's either a chimpanzee drinking milk out of a bottle or one of those stupid, ugly fat sisters in underwear, if it's not Alec Baldwin's ugly daughter or Sean Penn's hag. Why do they let their daughters do a thing like that? Why? Yeah, this is the front page. A flight attendant makes best pre-flight speech ever. This is while the country's being overrun. J-Lo says she transformed Ben Affleck into a movie star. That's a big story. Your cup of Starbucks is about to get more expensive. Jason Biggs' wife hired Hooker for birthday threesome. I don't know. I watch a local channel now for news. No, I watch the REI news. I like to watch Russian news, Irish news, Italian news. There's a channel that runs all of the international news shows. They're actually refreshing. You know, you can hear the news. Oh, the sets are horrible. props fall over, stage sets fall over in the background. It's a pleasure. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Let me ask you something. If you're the head of Department of Homeland Security and you let your border be overrun, is that not an act of malice or an act of incompetence or an act of criminality? What is that? That's called a competent job? Who is this guy that they picked to be Department of Homeland Security? What has he done for America? He's let the border be overrun by 100,000, we don't know how many, women and children. They're not coming here to work. You're telling me all of those illiterate young mothers and their babies are going to work in America? They're coming here to suck the system dry. Are you people insane? So they were told they're going to get asylum because the White House wanted them to know that. Now, the woman who's behind this, in my opinion, is Cecilia Munoz, who should be investigated by the government. She was the former head of La Raza. She was brought into the White House by Obama 3 years ago. She's been lobbying for this for 3 years, in my perception. And yet Cecilia Munoz is now saying, oh, misperceptions of how we apply our immigration policies were among the factors driving the surge. BS! You're the one who told Obama to do this. Then Munoz says, this is a very dangerous trip that people are taking. Oh, really? We're supposed to have sympathy for them now? How about the sympathy for our veterans who have worse health care than they do? You see, if we had a legitimate government, Cecilia Munoz never would have been permitted to be a policy advisor in the White House directly. Why? Because you don't take someone from a radical Hispanic group, La Raza, and put her into the White House unless you yourself are part of that supremacist mentality. That's number one. Number two. You listen to her now telling you what the problem is when she probably caused the problem by putting out the brochures and messaging that they got down there in Honduras and Guatemala? This is the country I'm living in. The wrong people are arrested. Oh, boy, oh, boy. The White House announced $255 million for the three Central American countries. You hear this? They're giving them a reward. $40 million to Guatemala to improve neighborhood security programs. $25 million to El Salvador to open 77 youth centers. Can you believe this? Can you believe a thing that a government like this? And you got poor people here living in tar paper shacks. Americans been here 100 years. Their families 100 years or more. Coming in with toddlers and you think immigrants come here to work? Miss Munoz should be tried immediately for being the brains behind this, if she is. That's a complex statement. Let me say it again. If Cecilia Munoz is the woman who has orchestrated all of this, which I think she has, listen, these things don't happen by accident. Let me tell you something. They whispered in Obama's ear and they said, look, here's how we end the whole immigration thing. We flood America with 100,000 or more of young mothers and children, and then we say it's too late to stop them, that we have to grant amnesty, we better do immigration reform now. It'll be a fait accompli, Mr. Obama. Okay, cool, that's good, flood the border. Well, how are you going to get them to come? Oh, we'll put out messages in Guatemala and Honduras, we'll have them flood across the border. And how are they going to get through Mexico, since the Mexicans don't let Guatemalans walk through their country? We'll work it out with our friends in Mexico. We'll give them a safe passage right through Mexico, right into Laredo, Texas. Then they could disperse them throughout America, and they could destroy the school systems and the hospitals. Isn't that what you want? Well, yeah, bring it all down, man. Crisis after crisis, that works. That worked for me up until now. Well, good, so we'll bust the schools and the hospitals. We'll have all of those crackers screaming about all these people. We'll make them look like racists. And boom, we win a threefer out of this, Mr. Obama. Good, good, go for it. Let's see, I'm late for my golf game. Okay, Cecilia, you're on. That's my imaginary scenario. You have to forgive me. I have a vivid imagination. Vivid imagination. There's not a Democrat in the country who wants this happening. They want me to have sympathy for them. You hear this? Don't you love it? Don't you love the polyglot civilization that's emerging? It's no longer a melting pot. That's what Obama wants. He doesn't want a melting pot. He wants everyone fighting with each other so he can continue to get away with murder and fly off on a golf trip. So now he's flooding America with diseased immigrants, gangbangers hiding amongst the boys and girls. And finally, the Republicans say, put the National Guard on the border. I guess Boehner got the message from somebody. How many times have I said, put the National Guard on the border? I'm not saying he listens to the show. He probably finds me insulting. And I do mean to be insulting. Maybe sometimes an insult is required to wake people up from their stupor. But we're in trouble. The Miami public schools are overloaded. New York City public schools are overloaded. The illegals are running in from Guatemala and Honduras. And they're taking the highway right up to Minnesota. That's going to be really great for the Midwest. They're really going to adapt to that area. Sure, the two-year-old people are going to work in a factory. What are they bringing them in for? How can we afford them? How in the world can any nation survive such deviancy? I blame it all on Cecilia Munoz, who's behind it in my estimation. I'd like her to prove me wrong. I challenge her to prove me. You want to talk about lost emails? Go dig up the emails from Cecilia Munoz inside the White House and see who she sent them to and what she said over the last 2 years about how to break the immigration system wide open, how to stop those people from even talking about border security. I can guarantee you, you'll find it coming from his office, the Oval Office, right down the line. Don't fool yourself. Tell them to break the hard drives. There's another hard drive breaker coming. In fact, if I were a rock and roll singer, I'd do a song called The Hard Drive Breaker. That'd be a good song, Hard Drive Breaker. It would start with jackhammers on a hard drive. And then we'd go to a speech by Barack Obama and the IRS commissioner, Lois Lerner. I have a few choice words for her, but I can't use them in English. I give you words for Lois Lerner in a foreign language. Maybe I'd get away with it, but I doubt it. There are too many people listening who are trilingual on the show. Lois Lerner. Where is she today now that we don't need her? Where's she hiding? Think she's in Boca with the mother? If I were Lois Lerner and I retired and my hard drives would disappeared, where would I hide in America? Let's see. I'd get a wig. I'd move to either Boca Raton or Fort Lauderdale. I'd hunch like I have scoliosis. I'd bend over. I would shop till I drop. I'd take the bus. I'd live in Century Village. And if a reporter, let's say, caught up with me and said, Mrs. Lerner, do you know where the hard drives are? I'd say, what? What do you talk? What do you mean? What hard drive? I just came here from Hungary. What hard drive? What's a hard drive over here from the condo? Very hot. No, Mrs. Lerner, where are the hard drives that are missing? I told you it's a hard drive. What do you want from me? Stop sticking in my face a thing. Take away the camera. Would you please? I called the police. So let me tell you a personal story, and I'll show you where I'm coming from. And I'm going to show you, and I'm going to prove to you definitively today on the Savage Nation, that not only is Obama a traitor and a liar, but he's a traitor and a liar to his own people. Yes, you heard me. Because the people who are going to be harmed the most from this flood, this tsunami of illegal immigrants, are not the white people in this country, but the black people in this country. There's tremendous poverty amongst black people in the United States of America. Now, where is the money going to come from to educate these non-English-speaking children, so-called, from Honduras and Guatemala? Where's the money going to come from for their health care when they can't even take care of the veterans? Yesterday, I was on the way back from my location in Florida, where I broadcast for a day or so, and I came back to San Francisco, and we had to make a stop in Memphis. I had not planned on going to Memphis, Tennessee. I've never been to Memphis, Tennessee. But for reasons I'd rather not discuss, we had to make a landing in Memphis. And I had about 4 or 5 hours to spend in a city I had never been to. I thought fate had put me down in Memphis because there's no other reason for this. And as the plane was descending over Memphis, I saw some of the most beautiful country in the entire world, and I've seen in a lot of the world. I thought it was some of the most verdant, beautiful land I'd ever witnessed in my life. And I said, wow, Tennessee is really beautiful. I know I'm on the radio in Tennessee and in that town, in the Cumulus Station, right in the city of Memphis. And as I am in so many other cities. And when we landed, I knew we had 4 or 5 hours till we were going to take off. So we rented a car, and a guy said, I said, can you take us around? He said, well, where do you want to go? I said, well, okay, I know that there's Elvis's thing here, Graceland. I mean, I was never a big fan of Elvis. I think he was a talented singer, whatever, but it's not my cup of tea to go there and see the hot dog people, you know. But nevertheless, I went to there. Then I said to him, listen to this. I mean, I didn't know much about Memphis. I said, look, I've been in the South a few times in my life, and I love the music. It's the middle of the afternoon, though. I didn't expect to hear blues music. He said, well, I got to take you to the riverfront, then I got to take you to Beale Street. I said, oh, Beale Street, isn't that like New Orleans? He says, yes, like New Orleans. So we hung out there, and I had some ribs. I took me to the best rib shop in town. He was from the area, black guy, nice guy. And I said, well, where's the best ribs for me? Anyway, so we had the ribs. I had the beer. I knocked down two buds. I destroyed my lipids for the probably for the year. Never felt so good in my life. It made up for the descent over Memphis. And I said, well, now, look, before we leave Memphis, is there anything else I should see? He said, well, do you want to see the motel where Martin Luther King Jr. was shot? And like a bell went off in my head. I mean, I got chills up and down my spine because I had forgotten that Martin Luther King Jr. had been executed in this city of Memphis, Tennessee. And so he drove us there. And I got to tell you, a certain something came over us, as we stood in front of that motel. A certain something came over us, because I got to tell you that America changed the day Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, you can go to michaelsavage.com. I'm not trying to pump a website. And there's a picture of yours truly standing right in front of that motel where MLK Jr. was shot. They left the two cars there, the Cadillac and the Dodge, right underneath that balcony where he was executed. And it was quite chilling. I mean, they built a civil rights museum and all. And I started to reflect on what's happened to America since Martin Luther King Jr. was executed, and how, although he was a man who was not greedy in any way, and I would have to think he really cared about his people, I think about the horrible people who've cashed in on the civil rights movement since him. I think of people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, but most importantly, I think about the sad state of America today, where we have a man, Barack Obama, who is as cynical as they come, who would not be president had it not been for the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And I'll explain why I say that in great detail. And I went back to one of my slogans from 10 years ago, how sadly in America we have gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. Yes, how we have gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. Because Martin Luther King Jr., despite his flaws, and boy, are we all flawed. No man is perfect. Boy, are we flawed. I've heard everything about him, but nevertheless, I also heard this man speak live. 1967, 68, UN Plaza. I was a young high school teacher in New York City. I happened to be outside for lunch with a sandwich, and I heard him speak. I mean, there's a huge crowd. I've never been moved like that ever since. That speech was the greatest. I never heard a voice like that. Let me put it to you that way. That man had the ability to move mountains. He was definitely chosen for great things on this planet. And I thought about that. I thought about what I witnessed that day that Martin Luther King Jr. spoke in this country, how it moved me as a young kid, a young teacher with his first job in New York City. I thought about the hatred that I saw in the streets that day, the raging hatred, pure, unadulterated, racist hatred that I had never seen anything like in my life, simply because he was speaking. I thought about it. I just looked back upon it. And then I thought about another man with a great voice who came along, a false prophet by the name of Barack Obama, who has, instead of helping to lift up his people, has pushed his own people back down further than they've ever been in this country. You see, you don't understand what I'm trying to say to you. You think that Obama and Holder are out to help the African American. At least that's what they seem to say, but they're not. Not in my estimation. I think that I'm sorry to tell you that Obama and Holder are willing to shaft the huge population of American Africans by flooding America with armies of Central Americans and Mexicans, by displacing the poor African-American population in this country with an army, a tsunami of Central American and Mexicans. Who do you think will be most hurt economically by this human tsunami that Obama is using in this country right now? And now, look, I realize that you want me to stick to only the news stories, but you also know that if you're listening to my show, you're going to get a broader view of the news from a personal point of view. And I'm telling you, it was fate that put our plane down in Memphis. For reasons I think I understand, as I explained to you just now, but also for reasons I don't understand. It couldn't have been just to enjoy the ribs. You're not hearing the same things you heard from Martin Luther King Jr. about people of all races getting along and living together. You're hearing about the supremacy of a certain race over others. You're hearing about the fact that you have poverty in this country that's overwhelming in certain communities, and yet he's bringing in millions of impoverished people from Central and South of Central America, Mexico. They're not all working here. You don't have 2 or 3 year olds working, do you? How could you stupid liberals, and I call you stupid liberals, how could you idiots take the bait like guppies in a tank to believe that he wants to bring in illegal aliens because they'll do the jobs no American will do when you see with your own eyes that many or most of this flood, this tsunami that he's bringing in now, illegally, by the way, are not workers. They're children, little girls and little boys, 3 years old to 8 years old. Mixed in with them are hardcore gang members, which is a second story that I don't want to get into. Who is going to take care of these children, many of whom are infected with diseases that were once eradicated in this country? Who will pay for their medical care, their housing? Who will educate them with all of the expensive English as a second language? Who's going to pay for it? Well, your answer is quite clear. You will. You, the liberal moron, and I, the conservative genius, will pay for it. But I will tell you who's going to be hurt the most. The poor. And so that woman in Memphis that I told you about, who sat outside the Lorraine Motel all these years with her flyer, had a flyer that said $27 million to renovate the Civil Rights Museum. Meanwhile, with nearly 1 in 5 residents stuck below the poverty line, Metropolitan Memphis ranks as by far the most impoverished large metro area in the nation, close quote. And she said that money shouldn't be going to renovate a museum. She said it should be going to the poor to help them. Now, if you have a finite resource base, finite amount of resources, how can you bring in millions of poor people and not hurt the millions of poor that already exist here? How? So you have to answer your own question and come to the conclusion that he's not bringing them in to help anyone here, that Obama's bringing them in for other reasons. They're not workers. He's not bringing in workers. That doofus, Biden, gives a speech before the National Association of Manufacturers and says that we need more and more and more an influx of illegal alien, whatever he calls them, immigrants. More and more and more, he says we need. More and more and more is what he says we need. What, he's getting child labor? I got to tell you something. Look, I didn't plan on landing in Memphis, and I did. We had to land. I didn't plan on going to the Elvis Museum. That, by the way, that's the other side of the coin. That's the other side of the coin. The poor white that goes to the Elvis Museum, the sheeple, the white who doesn't know where he is in the world, walking around buying a hot dog, a trinket. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know. I thought I was on a drug. I thought someone slipped me something in the van. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I never saw anything like it in my life. It was just something astonishing. You like the Elvis thing, but look in the same city. Look in the same city. You have an icon of a certain segment of the white population, Elvis Presley, and you have an icon of the civil rights movement, and you can't just say of the black population because there are many others who were affected by Martin Luther King Jr. I think you'd be a fool not to say we were all not affected by Martin Luther King Jr. You'd be an ignoramus not to understand that. In the same city, I said, there's something here for me. I haven't yet digested it because it was only yesterday. It was only yesterday in my life. It takes me sometimes days, months, weeks to absorb why fate or God puts me in certain situations or places. You know, as William Blake wrote, you must live your life forward, but you can only understand it backward, which is exactly what I'm trying to say to you. I mean, you have to live it forward. You have to try to sort out what's going on. But truthfully, you don't really understand what's going on until you get further away from it. You have to live your life forward, but you can only understand it backward. Well, I'm not far enough from yesterday to understand what it means today. But all I can tell you is I was extremely moved emotionally I was moved by that Lorraine Motel. I can't even explain why. I mean, maybe it was a part of my life that died when he was shot. I don't know. Certainly true. Certainly America's never recovered from his execution. It's never recovered from the execution of John F. Kennedy Jr., never recovered from the execution of RFK Jr., and it's never going to recover from the gangsters that have taken over this country. Never. It can never recover from this gang. It can't recover. And why do I say that? Because throughout time, there's always been evil men. power-mad people who have been constrained by the U.S. Constitution in the case of this nation, and by a vigorous opposition party, and by a vigorous press, the Fourth Estate. But as I told you before, the Fourth Estate long ago became the fifth column for communism in this country. Write it down, because it's probably the best thing I've ever said. The Fourth Estate became the fifth column for communism slash socialism in this country a long time ago, which is why all we have are clowns, stone clowns on television, passing for journalists now. So all I can do is sit here from the outside and not throw stones at the world, but try to make sense of the world for the millions of you who can't. It's the truth. It's the truth. You say, well, Mike, why can't you do anything about it? Why can't you help us pull us out of this part the Red? Because I'm not Moses. I can't part the Red Sea. We're all going to drown from this Red Sea that is engulfing us in this nation, because it's being done on purpose. And I don't have the way to part the Red Sea. That's got to be done by God. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to hear it. Yes, our friends, the elephants, are being decimated by Islamic terrorists. They're slaughtering these giants to fund terrorism. It's the hidden underbelly of the killing of our elephants. You may not know it, but the Islamic murderers in Africa are trading ivory for money and using the money for weapons to conduct their terror attacks throughout Africa and the world. You don't know any of that because the media will not tell you that. Kenya's biggest elephant was killed by poachers recently. And I have an article for you from Paula Kahumbu. She says, it is 4 a.m. and I've been sitting at my computer for hours. I just can't sleep after hearing the terrible news that Sateo, the world's biggest elephant, is dead. He lived in southeast Kenya in Tsavo East National Park and was celebrated as one of the last surviving great tuskers, bearers of genes that produce bull elephants with huge tusks reaching down to the ground. The news follows hard on the heels of the slaughter of another legendary tusker, mountain bull, deep inside the forest of Mount Kenya. Of all the elephants that have been killed in Kenya, these deaths are the hardest to bear. I want you to imagine human beings who would not only slaughter such creatures, which are protected in Africa, but butcher the creature while it's still alive in order to sell its ivory, to get money, to buy C4 explosives, to buy Kalashnikovs, and to buy other tools of the trade of the Islamic hordes that are taking over the world. The elephants who are being slaughtered by the Islamic murderers are the canaries in our coal mine. If they will slaughter these magnificent creatures, and they will slaughter Christians with impunity, and the world does nothing, how long will it be until a bomb goes off in your mother's house? And as George Orwell wrote, if a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put a bomb in his mother's house first. We have the most powerful weapons on earth, with the biggest cowards in the world in charge of these weapons. And as a result, these small armies of Muslim terrorists are winning around the world. And let me remind you of something else. I have studied history. And the way the Muslims took over two-thirds of the world over 1,000 years ago was with small armies that conducted small attacks. They never had big weapons. They had one thing other than big weapons. They had utter viciousness. And they burned, and they killed, and they slaughtered, and they massacred, and in so doing they conquered two-thirds of the civilized world with their small armies, as they are now doing once again. Meanwhile, at the same time this is going on, the cowards in our leadership in the West sit quaking with fear. Instead talking about global warming and gay rights and humanitarianism, all the while the world is burning. And remember what I said to you in this opening on the Savage Nation. Let these words drill into you like hot coals. The elephants that are being slaughtered are the canaries in our coal mine. You're next. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. This is an encore presentation of The Savage Nation.
I was watching a boxing match replayed of a man named Cotto. Those of you who don't follow boxing, it doesn't matter. He's amazing. He's fast. And what happened was, during the fight, I noticed that the opponent, who was excellent, was hitting him maybe once, and Cotto would count it with three blows. In fact, by the sixth round, it became apparent that he couldn't be beaten. Cotto could be they couldn't touch him. The opponent could not touch him. Could not touch him, couldn't lay a glove on him. And as I say, for every one blow that hit Mr. Cotto, Cotto returned three. And a bell went off in my head, and I realized that that's President Obama. He's like a championship fighter who cannot be touched by his opponents. If you listen to talk radio, if you listen to the belly-aching Republicans, what you hear are crybabies. People moaning, oh, he did this, oh, he did that, oh, no one will do anything. Oh, he did this. Oh, now he did that. Oh, he did this. Oh, he did that. Like a bunch of sissies. All you hear on talk radio is sissies crying about Obama. And then I realized something. We have him all wrong. And so I wrote the president a letter, a Father's Day appeal, which I published. And I really, you know, many of you listen to the show. I mean, I know we have a large audience. So I run into people who never go to the website. I'm not going to read you the whole essay. Please go to michaelsavage.com and see my Father's Day appeal to the president. You'll see a beautiful picture of the president, the first lady, and two beautiful children. And you'll see my appeal to the president. I want you to send it to everyone on your Facebook and Twitter lists. And I want to read you what I wrote, and then I'm going to ask you what you think about it. We're also going to talk about the butchering of the most beautiful creatures on the planet, our elephant friends. If you have any idea what's being done to our friends in Africa, your heart would break, as mine has. I just made a donation to an elephant fund. You say, well, what good is it? Go to michaelsavage.com and have your heart break. And I want you to cry. I want you to get sick, as I've gotten sick many a night, as I see them with their trunks cut off, laying left to die and rotting. And you have to ask yourself, what kind of humanity do we have on this planet that will butcher Christians and Christian villages, and we do nothing? And now you say, who cares? What's a Christian to me? I'm a wild, free person. I don't care about Christians. Well, maybe those liberals out there who care nothing about Christians being slaughtered by Islamic militants or murderers or psychotics will care about the elephants. And we've got to stop the trade in ivory in China. Yes, it's the good old friends in China who think it's so cool to have a little carving made of ivory. Yes, it's the Chinese behind it, because they are the ones buying the ivory. We'll talk about that and what you can do to stop the slaughter of these beautiful creatures in our lifetime. But let me begin with a Father's Day appeal on the Savage Nation. Here's what I wrote the president. And as I read this to you, I'm going to ask you what you think of my email to the president. I'm sure he'll never see it, but just maybe, this letter will reach him. Dear President Obama, I wrote, you are like a champion boxer who cannot be touched by your opponents. You have outsmarted and outboxed them at every turn. I appeal to you to understand where your victories have and are leading our nation. While you may think winning is all, you must also understand that even victory has its consequences. And while you may actually believe you're doing the best for our nation, the exact opposite may be true. Yes, Mr. Obama, you are the champion. You have crushed your domestic Could it be you have and are being used by evil forces? In the following pages, meaning in the book that I'm about to write, I try to spell out the disasters both home and abroad which have befallen our great nation. For the sake of your children and the other children of America, Mr. Obama, please consider the results of your keen political skills. Is it a safer America, a freer America, that your beautiful children will inherit? Or have your advisors taken us down a dangerous path, where spying on every citizen now threatens each of us, where your obsession with immigration reform has led to a floodgate of unskilled immigrants who will be a burden on your children's children and who have displaced the poorest of America's poor in their need for services, which we can never afford? where your targeting of your conservative political opponents with IRS audits has all but annihilated the two-party system so carefully preserved for these past centuries since our founding. Would your children benefit from one-man rule, Mr. Obama? Will America's children be better off with a one-party system, Mr. Obama? Mr. Obama, please scan the following pages. I'm again referring to my forthcoming book. And try to understand the dangers you have created both domestically and around the world. While you are a political genius and champion who cannot be touched by your domestic opponents, I appeal to you to give peace a chance. To give peace a chance. Let peace enter your heart, Mr. Obama, and see the dangerous straits where you have led this nation. It is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. Mr. Obama, killing your opposition is not wisdom, it is murder. Let not your advisors lead you any further astray. Please use your skills to bring this nation, our people, together in peace and in strength. Michael Savage. That's my essay to President Obama. Look, the fact is that the country is melting down. We have a president, while Iraq is burning, while churches are being looted and burnt to the ground, Christians are being beheaded, others are being beheaded. He's speaking at an LGBT dinner about the magic of gay marriage. We have doofus too in the soccer world of Brazil. There's nobody running this country. Nobody is running America. I don't know who's running America, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. Who's running it? Meanwhile, the Nazis who are invading the nation of Iraq right now have put out a report detailing every murder and every act of bombing and mayhem that they have conducted since the last 2 years. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, the Islamo-Nazis of today, list each operation in Iraq, the assassinations one by one, the IEDs they've planted, and it proves that they're running this in a very organized manner. Now, you understand the threat that they pose, but here's something you should grasp of everything. What they're going to do, what they want to do, is take over Syria and this Sunni triangle in Iraq. The important emphasis here is on Syria, because your government, including John McCain, has been screaming that we should support these Islamo-Nazis for well over a year now. The very same lunatic John McCain who organized the overthrow of the legitimate leadership in Ukraine and almost provoked a world war with Russia, that same war hawk maniac, John McCain, who foams at the mouth virtually on a daily basis. You cannot turn a TV channel on without that egomaniac spouting off nonsense. These are the same murderers that he calls freedom fighters or rebels. These are the same murderers who he's wanted to send weapons to. Well, now they don't need John McCain. They've invaded Iraq. They've stolen tanks and American Humvees and God knows hundreds of thousands of rifles and ammunition. And they're bringing it all back like army ants to Syria to overthrow Assad. Now, what do you think they want to do if they overthrow the dictator Assad? Do you think that they want to create a kind of gentler Syria? As bad as Assad is, these devils are worse. How is it that if I understand this, John McCain, the great war hero, doesn't understand this? How is it that all of the king's men and all the king's horses are so blind that they don't understand that the rebels are these people who are committing these beheadings and this mayhem in Iraq, but I understand it? How is it that they don't understand it? How is it that one citizen, without any power whatsoever, can see this like an eagle soaring over the canyons can spot prey? Do you understand how dangerous these fanatics are? They want to overthrow the government of Syrian President Assad so that they can establish not a kinder, gentler nation, but an Islamist caliphate in parts of Iraq and Syria that would be ruled under the insanity of Sharia law. And they are winning. They are blowing up checkpoints. They are demolishing houses, they're controlling cities, and wherever they invade, they blow up churches, and they impose the thousand-year-old Sharia law and governance. This is what's going on. Meanwhile, John McCain is still talking about them as though they're some noble savages who we have to support in Syria. This is the same moron, John McCain, who helped overthrow a duly elected, democratically elected president in Ukraine. Do you understand that the political class is as dumb as a doorpost? Do you understand we have no hope on either side of the aisle that these are professional idiots who stand only to gain personally and have no knowledge of the world in which they're working. They don't even understand the world in which they're working. They live only for themselves. And I say that to a high degree of certainty with regard to, let's say, 90% of the politicians on both sides of the aisle don't even know what's going on. They're so involved in their own business. Democrat has a business. Their business is building the Democrat Party, not America. There is no America. Republicans have a business building the Republican Party. For them, there is no America. There are two businesses called the Republican business versus the Democrat business. And to them, America's business is not their business. And then we have a nation we the people reside in. Who's representing us? Tell me who. Is it the ice cream man? Is it the coffee bean? Who is it that's representing us? Who on the Republican side represents you? The coffee bean, the ice cream man, Clink, the gobbler, the stale bagel? Who is it? Who represents you? We certainly know that on the Democrat side, the scarf, the hawk, the corned beef, the slimy reptile and turban durban and the water carrier don't represent American values. We understand that. But where on the other side of the aisle do we have any representation? We don't. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Listen, I know I'm going to get a lot of heat. I mean, it's easy for people to sit in their living rooms and say, oh, Savage is becoming an appeaser. He sent a nice letter to the president. He's given up the fight. Well, you could look at it that way. But you're sitting in your living room, what, wanting someone to scream and curse him and put him down? And what has that gotten you? What exactly has that gotten you? Nothing. Zero. And let me tell you something else. Having worked in the fields of alternative medicine for many years, let me tell you how that works. It was the theory of those who were pioneers and geniuses in complementary medicine or alternative medicine, meaning non-drug medicine, that when a person had a disease working in their body, you used every possible attack on the disease organism that you could use. And that would include vitamins, minerals, herbs, acupuncture, homeopathy, and even allopathic medicine. You used everything at once. In other words, you try to attack the disease organism from every different angle. And so the angle that I am using in my appeal to the president is certainly different than that which you have heard on this show and others. How long can I listen to everyone in conservative radio whining like babies, like beaten women? They sound like women who've been beaten. Whining and saying, oh, he's evil, he's mean, he's beating me up. Oh, look what he just did about the coal. Oh, look what he did with the immigrants. Oh, look what he did about this. You sound like a bunch of women who have been beaten up by a bad husband. And I'm sick of listening to it, and I'm not going to join that. It's sickening. You want to talk about appeasing? That's appeasing. That's the mark of a weakling and an appeaser, is to be complaining day and night about what the president did. That's the mark of weakness, not of strength. You can scream all you want, and all you hear is hysteria. That's the hysteria of losers that you're hearing in conservative radio, and that's why the medium is melting down. No one can listen to it anymore. A bunch of ninnies screaming, oh, he did this, oh, look what Obama did that. Oh, let's have Mrs. This on. Let's have this writer on. Look what the president did. Yeah, 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 yeah. Day and night. So everyone says, you know what? America loves a winner. Let's not join those conservative losers who all they're doing is crybabying. So I figured I've had enough of it. So now either I've had a satori over the weekend, as is said in Japan, which means a great insight, or something else has happened. But whatever's happened's happened. I wrote the letter, I posted it on my website, and I just read it on the Savage Nation. I have to live with it. It's that simple. I have to live with it. Either I'm right or I'm wrong, but it's something. It's a different approach. America is being overrun by Mexicans and Central Americans on purpose. It is by design, not by chance. And those who will suffer the most will be the poor African Americans in this country who are being pushed aside and displaced by the Obama administration. Now, I will call this McCain's war, because many elements of this invading terrorist army coming out of the north of Iraq are identical to, if not a part of, the so-called rebels in Syria, who have been fighting Assad. You don't understand this, but that's who they are. So which side should we be on? How about no side? How about no side? Do you think it makes sense for us to take a side in the Shia-Sunni battle, which is going on for almost, what, 800 years now? Many of you have to spend a little time to see the difference between Sunnis and Shias. I don't think you care very much. But it goes back to the death of the Prophet Muhammad over who should lead the Muslim community. And many of you don't care about who leads the Muslim community. Not at all, but they do. In fact, Shia and Sunnis, although they're both Muslims, kill each other, butcher their children, behead each other, all over this insanity, going back 1,000 years or more. And yet it's the same religion. And the funny part about it all is that they kind of got along for hundreds of years until Jimmy Carter permitted the Iranian Revolution of 1979 to metastasize around the world, because the Iranian Revolution of 1979 launched a radical Shia Islamist agenda that laid down a challenge to conservative Sunni regimes. The end of the story is this. What are we doing there? What did all these boys die for? Try to imagine a family in this country who has a flag on their mantle of their dead son. The son died for the sake of democracy because he believed in Bush's BS. But why should we care who wins in Iraq? Tell me why it matters. And I think we should play clip number one so we can hear the great leader give his solemn statement, which he'll, by the way, I can guarantee you he was against sending troops in before he's for sending troops in, which could be as soon as tomorrow. Listen to clip one.
We will not be sending U.S. troops back into combat in Iraq, but I have asked my national security team to prepare a range of other options
that could
help support Iraq security forces.
All right, that's enough. Some national security team. A group of geniuses from Harvard and NYU. They never fired a Daisy BB gun, but their national security team. This is the same group of academic schmucks who are letting the country be overrun by Central Americans. The same schmucks who let the Boston Marathon bombing occur. That's the national security team. Oh, I really feel secure. None of them ever served in the military, I guarantee you. They all served at Harvard in the Women's Studies Department.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Let's see, Neanderthal-like skulls reconstructed from Pitt in Washington, no, Spain. Neanderthal-like skulls reconstructed from Pitt in Washington, D.C., in Spain, hint at human evolution. Now, who are we all descended from this week? For years, I thought we were descended from the Fertile Crescent from Egypt. I could live with that. Then I heard we were all descended from Africa, which they invented that story. Every week, it's another race that they decide was the father of all, or the mother of all races. In Spanish, the word for jigsaw puzzle is rompecabezas, literally a headbreaker. Researchers in Spain flipped that process, taking hundreds of pieces of ancient bone that were found in a cave north of Madrid near Burgos called the Pit of the Bones, and reconstructing 17 skulls of early humanoids dating back 430,000 years. I think we'd be better off with humanoids running the country today than what we have. I would vote for humanoids, to be honest with you. The Pit of Bones, which was discovered in 1983, includes the largest number ever recovered from a single site, blah, blah, blah. They are early members of the Neanderthal lineage. You can't say Neanderthal. It's Neanderthal. That's to show that you're sophisticated. That's like saying Vince. If you say Vincent van Gogh, it means you're an uneducated adult. I had a guy once went to Belgium. He came back, and I said, how was the Van Gogh exhibit? He said, it's Van Gogh. Never talked to him again. He later became a lawyer. There are early members of the Neanderthal lineage. Jean-Louis Arsuaga of Madrid's Complutense University. Let me ask you something. Do you trust anything coming out of a Spanish university? I don't. It's like the line in The Godfather where the character who... I'm sorry. You remember the Lansky character in The Godfather? Do you remember that? Where he's sick laying on bed with it. It's the way Jewish guys looked in those days. He's laying there with his gut hanging out on a couch in Havana. He's got like an upset stomach. He thinks it's a heart attack. He's got his underwear on, surrounded by the mafia. Guy's like the brains of the mafia. And he's rubbing his chest. And he says, get me a doctor. He's in Cuba. So they say, oh, we'll get you a doctor. They bring him in a doctor. He takes one look at him with a mustache. He says, no, send my doctor in for Miami. I don't trust any doctor who doesn't speak English. I mean, I basically feel the same way. I mean, if I go to a hospital, to be honest with you, I still would rather have someone who speaks English than someone who needs like a translator for me. Neanderthals are the closest extinct species to ours, Homo sapiens, and they coexisted with humans as recently as 40,000 years ago. Neanderthal skulls have a few distinct features, including a large brain, prominent jaws, and large teeth. Okay, large brain. It means they're probably smarter than most of us. Why did the Neanderthals die out? Were the Neanderthals meat eaters, or were they like veggies? Were they vegans? Were the Neanderthals vegans? I don't know. I think that there's a break in the lineage of the human species. If I remember my evolutionary biology at all, and I'm not very good on this, where an earlier incarnation of Homo sapiens died out because they were vegetarians, and then the meat eaters came along and beat the heck out of them, killed them. The meat eaters have more energy. You know, look at the Middle East. What do you think those guys eat? You think that they're vegans? You ever see these guys? See how big they are, how powerful? The guts on them? What do you think they wear those open nightshirts for? You think they want to buy a size 40 belt today and a 42 belt tomorrow and let the pants out every time they eat a knockoff a lamb? They have a cloak over them. They're not idiots. They don't focus on how their stomach looks in the mirror. They're a shroud, that's all. The wife, they beat up to wash it every once in a while, and that's it. They don't have to buy a 40 belt, a 42, a 46, a 48. They're strong. They're powerful. Big in the arms, big in the chest, big burly guys, and they eat the meat eaters, monster meat eaters, meat eaters. The meat eaters live in Brooklyn. They eat borscht. I hated borscht as a child. Russian dishes I couldn't stand. There were certain ethnic foods I despised. I'd get sick from them. Borscht was one of them. I never understood why people liked it. I would say not no thanks. I'd run out of the building. Another dish, halava. Disgusting. Why is halava liked by... It was liked by so many Eastern Europeans in my childhood. I hated it. It was like caramel that sticks to your teeth. Hated it. I hated borscht. I hated halava. I hated fried latkes. I couldn't stand any of that garbage food. I was researching why Neanderthals died out. It's very interesting. It says because the humans that came along after them is that the humans ran faster. It says the primary reason for Neanderthals dying out where they were not able to survive is related to the fact that they could not run as fast as modern humans. And they would require 30% more energy than modern humans would for running or walking. That does it. So the answer is whoever runs fastest wins. I'm finished then. I nap after the show. I don't jog. I may take up jogging again. I gave it up at age 30. I couldn't take it. I hated it. So if you run faster, you survive. How do you like that? Like I didn't know it. Originally, it says that they coexisted with modern humans. Neanderthals and modern humans coexisted. Modern humans may have migrated to Europe 40,000 to 43,000 years ago, and the Neanderthals may have lived as recently as 24,000 years ago on the south coast of the Iberian Peninsula. Oh, that's Spain, of course. And then they interacted, the Neanderthal and the modern human. But they think that maybe because the human ran faster than the Nean, who was stocky and short, they look like my uncles. The combination of Neanderthal had lower, robust knees. None of my relatives ever needed knee replacement, now that I think about it. They were short and stocky. Notice the tall guys who run a lot always have a burnt-out hip or a knee. I never had a nip, nothing, no replacements yet. I was not athletic, I'll be honest with you. I ride a bike every day, but I never burned out a knee yet. You know, all these guys who run, they don't realize they're wearing their bodies out. Your body's not made for that. No, it's not a healthful thing to run like that. The human was not made for it. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you look good. You look better than I do, don't get me wrong. But you're not going to last as long as you think. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Democrats are trying to say that the Republican Party only represents white people, but mainly it's being done by white people in the Democrat Party. I mean, if they really mean that, then Demi Vosevoman Schultz ought to quit, Schumer ought to quit, Hillary ought to quit. They're all white people, aren't they? And who are they kidding when they say the Republicans are a party of white people? What, suddenly they're all of a sudden in love with people of color? Charles Schumer represents people of color? I was supposed to believe that? Or Hillary Clinton hangs out only with people of color? I mean, let's get down and dirty with this rubbish. You believe a word of these demagogues? I don't. That's how you melt a nation down. That's how you turn a great nation like ours into Cesar Chavez's dictatorship. That's Obama's strategy under Saul Alinsky, step by step, day by day, tax people to death who are working and increase benefits for the bums and the leeches and the illegal aliens so they continue to vote for the illegitimate Socialist Democrat Party forever. I get it. But it's not over yet. The game is not quite over yet. there's still a lot to do. And the fact of the matter is, there's an awful lot for we, the people, to do. We have one election left. I'm working, frankly, towards this one election. I'll be honest with you. It's all going to be hinged on November. I'm throwing everything I have at that. It's a little too early to start talking about it. But I have been writing the book, Stop the Coming Civil War, because I think that is a possible long-term strategy of this corrupt administration. If they're willing to flood the country with illegal aliens, if they're willing to turn all the resources of the government against the legitimate citizen by spying on everybody, then they're capable of anything. Believe me, they're capable of anything. And this anything would include fomenting a rebellion in the country in order to declare martial law, seize weapons. You let your imagination run wild. And you could say, oh, it's right-wing conspiracy, it can't happen here. Well, I would argue it is happening here. It is happening here, step by step, stage by stage. So I myself have been planning for 1 year now to throw everything I have in the written word and the spoken word behind the elections coming up in November. And the book is a big part of it. You're going to play a big role in it by hopefully buying the book and just by displaying the cover of that book, Stop the Coming Civil War, send the message as to what this government, this devious government, is planning and what it is doing and what it has been doing, all in one simple package. The cover alone will send the message. The cover of that book will be the billboard, and I am planning on then running a straight campaign right through the election, and I'm going to make the message very simple. Fire every Democrat. As bad as the Republicans are, they're the only hope we have. Because come November, if Harry Reid and the other despots are not thrown a big message, if they don't lose control of the Senate, they retain control of the Senate, and God forbid, they gain seats in the House, you may as well pack your bags and leave, because there's not a socialist nation in this world that I know of that's any worse than what they're going to do here. If you think that the taxation now at 47 or 49% of your federal income tax is high, wait until it's 80%. If you think California is bad now with 13% of your income taxed by Jerry Brown in order to appease the illegitimate unions, wait until he makes it 20% state taxes. What are you going to do when these criminals steal 90% of your income and tell you, well, that's what was done in the 50s? That's only fair, to take 90% of your income. Tell me what this country will look like in 10 years if these illegitimate despots on the left continue their war against the middle class. You cannot vote for one Democrat and expect anything to change. They are almost demonic in their diabolical desire to destroy the nation. Now, it may not even be their original intent. That's something you have to understand. It's taken on a snowball effect from Obama and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse down. They started a snowball going, and they almost can't stop it themselves. It's gotten worse, and it's going to get worse yet. I promise you it's going to get worse. I promise you that this despot will do things you can't even imagine, and he will do them very quickly, and it'll catch you off guard, and you'll feel like giving up. You can't give up. I'm asking you all to hang in there until November, when finally this dictatorship gives you a chance to have a moment of democracy. As I've said to you before, we do not live in a democracy. We live in a dictatorship punctuated by little spurts of democracy which occur every few years. Well, your turn will come in November. It's the only chance you're going to have to show a slight bit of freedom and a slight bit of power. Right now you have no power. You are powerless because we do not even have the system that they have in nations where there's a parliamentary system. If we had a parliamentary system, there could be a vote of no confidence yesterday, and Obama could be thrown out of office. But he knows that he lives in a dictatorship. He knows that he sees the power. And his minions know that. And they're trying to do everything they can as quickly as they can while they have this absolute power. And that's why I say I'm going to throw everything I have at it with my book and my radio show. And it's all about this election. It's the last chance we have. And if the Democrats, despite all their illegitimate anti-American activities, continue to win, and they win in November, then I'm telling you that I'm giving up my political world. I will give it up. I may stay on the radio, but I won't do politics. There's no point to it. I won't do it anymore. I'd rather talk about recipes. I'd rather do meatball recipes. I'd rather play rock and roll music. I may just become a disc jockey. The one thing I will never do is I will not become a sex talker, because there's no need for that. The only people who talk about sex for a living are those who are impotent and don't have any. So as I say to you, it's enough to get a strong man very weak, and it's enough to make you turn inward and tend to your own garden and say, let the world go you know where, because I can't do anything about it. And yet I have to get up every day, 5 days a week, do a three-hour show, and I'm looking at this, it's emerging, it's getting worse, and I'm saying, and I'm going to be consistent now, it's not our business, because it isn't our business. It is not in our backyard. It's in the backyard of Jordan. It's in the backyard of Israel. It's in the backyard of Saudi Arabia. It's in the backyard of Lebanon. It's in the backyard of Turkey. Let them do something about it. You can even say it's in Europe's backyard. Let the French and the Germans send troops. They have very great, brave special forces. Let them do something about what's going on in Iraq. Let the French bomb. Let the Germans bomb. Let the English bomb. Let the Turks bomb. Let the Israelis bomb. Let the Jordanians bomb. Let the Saudis unleash their air force. It has nothing directly to do with the United States of America. I would rather see our troops sent to the Mexican border to stop the flood of human beings being brought in by the cartels to overtake and overthrow our border agents so that they cannot even look at the contraband that's being brought in around these children. No, we need our troops on the Mexican border. That's a failure of our homeland security. That's a failure of our army. Meanwhile, in Iraq, it's already gone. Two Iraqi divisions are dissolved, according to General Dempsey. That is 60,000 Iraqi troops that were trained by United States soldiers simply dissolved in northern Iraq last week. And in some cases, they even joined forces with advancing Islamo-fascist Sunni extremists. That's the result of our years in Iraq. And yet the neocons apparently cannot get enough American blood to satisfy their bloodlust. They're calling for bombing. They're calling for more bombing and more war. When will they learn it's not our job to be the world's policeman? Yes, it's a terrible thing to see this happen. But there are nations in the area that are more directly affected and threatened by this meltdown of Iraq. That's what I say, and that's one man's opinion. I want to just repeat, my last nonfiction book of all time is going to come out in October. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War. And I only last night finally worked out the subtitle with my publisher, and it's called My Savage Solutions. Because there's no other way to say it. It's my view. My Savage Truth, pardon me. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War. Notice the emphasis on the word stop. Because I fear this country is being driven to insurrection, and I think it's being driven to insurrection on purpose. And I believe that governments before and governments after want insurrection in order to gain control over a population. And while Obama can unilaterally flood America with illegal aliens and nothing happens because we're a nation of wimps and we're a nation of outlaws running the country with no opposition party, or shall I say an opposition party that literally wants the same thing to happen, which is why there's no outcry from the Republicans. I think that if he wanted to eliminate the Second Amendment and he just unilaterally used his pen and his stool to sit down and say, I hereby declare the Second Amendment null and void, there'd be a civil war in the country. And so he needs a pretext. Like all bad people who are looking for a fight, they need an excuse to go and do what they want. So they provoke you. And I believe that they're going to try and provoke us over and over and over again, as they are doing currently, poking us in the eye one day after the other. And I'm warning America to watch out, because that's their game plan. They want an insurrection. And I don't want to say any more about it until the book is available, because it's my last book. And it's my last nonfiction book. If I survive writing that book, and if I survive to the day the book comes out, the only book I'll write after that probably will be a book about my dog and I. That's about it. Teddy and I are talking about that book together, but unfortunately his agent is being very, very difficult, and I don't know whether I'm going to be able to hire him as a co-author. He's just asking for too many bones. No, I've got some agent out there, I got to tell you. This is the Savage Nation. Good night, and God bless America.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. This is an encore presentation of The Savage Nation.
Iraqi leaders must rise above their differences and come together around a political plan for Iraq's future. Shia, Sunni, Kurds, all Iraqis must have confidence that they can advance their interests and aspirations through the political process rather than through violence. National unity meetings have to go forward to build consensus.
Oh, shut up. Turn it community. Off. I can't listen to this lying, two-faced ass. I can't take him another second. If he shows up an hour late. When have you ever heard of a president being as... I don't have the right word for it. What message does this send to our children? They should just show up at work whenever they want. They should show up at school whenever they want. Because Mr. Cool shows up an hour later. Let me tell you who did that on a regular basis. And you're not going to want to hear it. Hitler did it. It was part of his mesmerizing ability to speak. He'd make audiences wait for up to an hour. And then he came out and gave his big speech. Who is advising Obama? He's becoming increasingly insane. His behavior is that of a madman. I think he's unhinged from reality. The border is overrun with diseased third world individuals who are infecting the country. And he has the nerve to get up there and talk about a unity government in Iraq, that the people must come together. Sunnis and Shia and Kurds must advance their interests, he says, through the political process. And what does he do in America? He spits on his political opponents. He spits on us! The country is screaming for unity. And this divisive creature, Icarus the president, has the nerve to get up there like he has any authority to tell the Iraqis what to do when he has divided this country in a way that has not been divided since the U.S. Civil War. Well, 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 back in our past. Yeah, we'd like a unity government, Mr. Obama. Once we'd like you to listen to those of us who are fed up with your left-wing fanaticism. Once we'd like a unity government. I want to tell you about Icarus. Icarus is a Greek figure, a mythological figure, who you may vaguely remember from high school. In the short version, it's about a Greek figure who created false wings made of feathers and wax. And while his father warned him not to fly too close to the sun because the heat would melt the wax and the feathers would fall off his fake wings, Icarus ignored his father's instructions not to fly too close to the sun. And the melting wax caused him to fall into the sea where he drowned. And I'm asking you, is Obama not showing the hubris of Icarus? Is this man not psychologically dangerous for the United States and for the world? Flying so close to the sun on his manufactured image, on his manufactured wings? When in the heck does this come to an end? When do we ever get a government back? When did we ever get a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? When the hell are the Republicans going to send the National Guard to the border to stop the swarm of third world individuals swarming over with diseases, smallpox, malaria? Shall I name the diseases? You want to check out the measles epidemic that's about to emerge? The tuberculosis epidemic that's about to emerge? Do you have any idea what this man is doing to your country? Now, he's not alone, by the way. The senile Rupert Murdoch, the whipmaster of Fox News, the senile old goat, Rupert Murdoch, has the nerve to write a long speech the other day on how badly we need amnesty. And then the old senile goat, Murdoch, has the nerve to throw out the false canard that Obama has shown restraint, to throw out the false canard that 40% of the CEOs in America are immigrants. How many of these 40% come from a Spanish-speaking nation? How many of these 40% snuck across the border? How many of these 40% don't speak English? How many of these 40% can't even write Spanish? What a liar that Murdoch is. You look at his New York Post, all it is about pornography. Pornography, the whole newspaper's pornography. There's not one note about what Obama's doing to the country. The entire newspaper, the entire New York Post, if you look at the front page, one page after the other, it's pornographic. One page after the other, soft corn porn from the Australian immigrant, Rupert Murdoch. And he has the nerve to tell us that 40% of the CEOs in America are immigrants. Well, what a lie that is. We're not talking about immigrants here. We're talking about illegal aliens. We're talking about people who are illiterate in their own language, in their own country. Now we're talking about a president who was so out of touch with reality that I fear he may be a madman. I fear he may be a madman. I think his hubris has gotten so great that he may be a madman. Then I listen to Obama's speech an hour late. An hour late, he bops onto the stage like Mr. Cool. Just used those weights in the gym, pumped himself up. Drank a coffee, smoked a cigarette, went out and gave the big lie, gave the big speech again. You know, the speech about unity is what got to me. I started screaming in the room after waiting an hour for this fraud to give his speech. An hour I waited for this fraud to speak, and he comes up with this garbage about a unity government. The people have to work together. All Iraqis must have confidence that they can advance their interests through the political process rather than through violence. While in this country, he's provoking violence because he's closed down the political process.
Oh, little girl of mine.
The voice of America, the savage nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America, has been my slogan since January of this year. And I think a big part of that is the rock and roll that I play almost every day. It seems to symbolize America, at least for me it does. I mean, others consider rap music their music, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. I tend not to relate to music that builds on a vocabulary of about 20 words. I would think that my dog Teddy, frankly, has a larger vocabulary than the average rap star. It doesn't mean that they're bad people, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. I prefer rock and roll to rap, but if you like the other stuff, you got plenty of choices out there. If you like to see people who rub their crotches and have rings in their nose and jewels in their teeth, God bless you. Many of you do. My horoscope today says everyone is entitled to their opinion, so don't get uptight if someone says something you disagree with. Stay calm, savage. Tell your side of the story and then listen to theirs. And don't be surprised if what they say makes a lot of sense. And so therefore, I'll read my phone number here where you can talk to more people than you meet for the rest of your life if you get on the air. And really, we don't have any empty lines. That's the problem. America is in hell right now. We're agitated. We see the country going in front of our eyes. We're watching a store emptying out. It's like, many of you don't know The Sopranos. It's like the Stakino bust out. What this administration is doing to this country is the equivalent of the segment in The Sopranos television series where the guy who owns this big, huge sporting goods store, which makes a fortune, is a gambler, a degenerate gambler, and he gets into a gambling game, a private gambling game, run by the mafia in New Jersey, and they warn him, don't get in the game. They warn him because if you get hurt, we're going to collect. But he's a degenerate gambler. He can't control himself. He gets in the game. And before long, the gangsters are now his partners in the sporting goods store. But being the criminal scum that they are, instead of running the sporting goods store and taking a piece of the legitimate profits, the gangster scum think only about how to rob the store, what they can steal from it. And so they steal sunglass racks, then they steal skis and they sell them out of back of trucks. Little by little, the store starts to thin out in merchandise. And then towards the end, they're taking the credit line of the store and they're buying airline tickets with the credit line and selling the airline tickets for any amount that they can get. That's how gangsters run a business that they take over. Tell me it's not exactly the same as what's going on in America under this regime. I feel as though we're watching the Stakino bust out. They're selling everything they can as fast as they can out of the back of a truck. And we're supposed to sit here in awe as the president gets up and gives a speech on Iraq like he knows what he's talking about. I feel like I'm watching an old Peter Sellers movie, where the gardener was made president. Do you remember that movie? He was made into the president and he acts the role of the president. And people start to listen to him like he knows what he's talking about when he doesn't know anything about what he is saying. That's what I feel like I'm watching every time he speaks. I don't laugh at him. I just fear for my nation's survival. It's that simple. When I see the country being overrun by this number of illegal aliens, and I realized that the big lie of they all come here to work and we need them to do the jobs most Americans won't do, I always knew that was a lie. That's not why they want all the Hispanics here from Mexico and Central America. Why would they then bring in little girls and little boys? They're not coming here to work. So what are they rushing them into this country for? Well, if you can't figure it out, if you can't see the hatred that is the animus of this administration, I can't help you. If you think it's about helping these children, you're insane. No, it's about changing the demographics of America forever. And what that means is he's aiming it at one demographic in particular. And if you don't understand that, I can't help you. And if you do understand it and you finally got it, then you're probably shocked that I even say it on a radio show and get away with it. But I have no choice. I have no choice anymore. It's too far along for me to mince any more words about the situation. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there because there's only so far I am willing to go on the radio with my observations. It's just that simple. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I feel so optimistic for reasons unknown that I went and got a white sport coat out of my costume department, asked the guys who are working with me, Neil and Robert. You know, Skype is amazing. I change outfits now just for them because I don't want them to see me in my flannel pajamas during the entire show. It doesn't encourage hard work to see your boss, the talker, sitting in flannel pajamas on the other side of the Skype screen. So I put on a white sport coat and a pink carnation. I got a straw hat. The situations in the world. I mean, it's news, views, and reviews. And what's bigger news right now than Iraq, which has gone up in smoke? It's what I feared would happen when Bush invaded Iraq. And as I wrote in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder in 2005, by the way, it was a huge best-selling book. It was not an obscure book. It doesn't matter that it's not mentioned by fraudulent conservatives in the media. The important thing is that the American audience knows I wrote it. Most of what they hear on radio today may as well be taken verbatim from my book, because everything I wrote is what you hear on every other show over and over again. Over and over and over again. It's that simple. You say it once and you say it perfectly so others repeat it and make believe they discovered it. But that's not the point. The point is I feared this would happen. I felt that the neocons were misleading President Bush. And speaking of President Bush, our hats off to his father, who celebrated his 90th birthday by doing a skydive out of an airplane. That was amazing. I mean, you know how gutsy that is at any age? But you see a 90-year-old man with that kind of heart, that's amazing. It makes you yearn for the days of Bush Sr., who, by the way, was a far better president than Bush Jr., which I said during Bush Jr.'s reign. Because, going back to Iraq again, on that issue alone, I distinctly recall saying the following. I said, when Bush won, invaded Iraq in the first Iraq war, if you remember, he could have, of course, the American troops could have taken all of Iraq, but his advisors were far more far-seeing, Bush won. He had smarter men around him. And they said, we don't want to take down Saddam and the entire Revolutionary Guard, nor do we want to decimate all of his tanks and all of his airplanes. We want to weaken him so he's not a greater threat to the area. But we want to keep him as a counterbalance to the growing threat of Iran. And that was Bush 1. Then along came Polly, that is Bush 2. And Bush 2 was advised by very intemperate men from the conservative think tanks, Wolfowitz and crowd. And the neocons said, go for the throat, kill them all, take out the Revolutionary Guard, take out Saddam and his sons. And God knows what happened. And what happened is now, as we sowed the wind, we're reaping the whirlwind. And the whirlwind is now Iran is the big winner. You have to remember that the original borders of ancient Persia included Iraq, because Iraq didn't exist until the end of World War II, so far as I know, and I'm no expert on history. But Iran once occupied that entire area. And what Iran is now doing is regaining everything that they lost over the centuries, thanks to the incompetence of Bush and the complicity of Obama. And soon, we will see the whirlwind hit us here in the United States of America. I hope not, but I fear so. I fear that we have brought in so many unknown immigrants who have come here under the guise of asylum that we have God knows how many jihadists sitting in this country, not being looked at by the administration for fear of a loan. And at the end of it, a woman came up to me with a daughter. Her daughter was a college age, and she said to me timidly, "Are you Dr. Savage?" "Yes." She said, "I just want to say that I'm a leftist, a real liberal, but I love your show." I said, "How do you love me and hate me at the same time?" She said, "I just love your reasoning. I love your thought. I love the way you present ideas." I said, "Then how do you continue to believe in what your politics are?" And she was actually dumbfounded. And I said to her, "How can you believe in a president who's introduced such a spying network in this country that would put Eastern Europeans' spy networks to shame? What he has done to this country by spying on every American is brought us into a police state, a totalitarian state, and everyone is unsafe." She said, "Oh, I know. In fact, my daughter right here wrote an essay about that in college, and she's agitated about what Obama's done with spying on everyone." And I will tell you this. You have no idea how many liberals detest this president, and yet they're still liberals. And the reason is because they're liberals and he is not. The president is not a liberal. He is so out of the ken of liberalism that they've abandoned him. So who is his base? The pigs who collect government handouts without giving anything to society, even though they may be able-bodied. The takers, not the makers. And Obama knows that. He knows that he has no constituency, even amongst liberals.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. This is an encore presentation of the Savage Nation.
I could be the architect of the new Nationalist Party. And the document has already been written. It's called Trickle Down Tyranny. The problem is that we have no charismatic leader to call upon. We have great people. We have good people. But thus far, I have not heard any of them say borders, language, and culture. Not one of them refers to the borders, language, culture idea that I created in 1994. Again, going back, news story. In San Francisco, a group of illegal alien criminals surrounded a deportation bus right near my studio on Sansome Street. The bus was supposed to take the illegal alien criminals out of our country and drop them where they came from. The protesters would not let the bus leave. The police were not able to arrest them because San Francisco is a demented, so-called sanctuary city. Now, let me explain something to you. Because San Francisco is a sanctuary city, a father and his two sons were executed in the streets of San Francisco a few years ago by an illegal alien criminal gangbanger. Did you know that? Did you forget that little story? Do not think that liberalism comes without a price. In some cases, it comes with life as the price. An illegal alien who should have been deported, who had killed somebody a few months before but was released because he was in a sanctuary city and he got a shyster lawyer, then went out and killed a man and his two sons who he thought were members of another gang right in front of his wife. I raised money for that woman. I sent her money. It was a heartbreaker. It was enough to rip your guts out. Did it change the sanctuary city insanity of this perverted, demented city? No. It's only gotten worse. We now have the equivalent, not of the mentally insane running the asylum. In blocking the deportation bus, we now have criminals running ICE. This would be the equivalent of drug dealers going in the street and saying, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, the FBI has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, the DEA has got to go," and blocking DEA agents, preventing them from arresting drug dealers, coke dealers, heroin dealers, saying that it's illegal, it's immoral. They're just family men trying to raise money for their families. How does Obama permit this and not get impeached is the question. Would you support a third party is the main question. This is the Savage Nation. WABC, Bruce, you're first up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I sympathize with you. The point is, if you have a third party, people will not vote for it. They'll say, if I vote for this guy, the Democrats will get in, so they vote Republican. What you need is people to run in the Republican primary. I ran in the primary. I got one quarter of what the regular Republican...
You know what? You know what? Technically, you are correct, by the way. I was advised by someone who I expressed this to who knows politics, and he said to me, don't ever think about it. You'd never get on the ballot. And you couldn't get anyone on the ballot with a third party. He said you could run as a Republican in the primaries and challenge them as a nationalist. That's the most you could do. But in order to do that, my caller friend Bruce, I think we first have to define what a nationalist is so somebody can go out there and run as a nationalist. That is what I'm trying to do. That is where my intellectual daring comes in here on the show. Would you support a nationalist candidate? Okay, I will change the question. Would you support a nationalist candidate running on the Republican ticket? I don't want to hear the word conservative anymore. It has no meaning whatsoever. We could all say start a third party, but let's be realistic. That's not the way the system works. You'll get nowhere. You'll make a lot of noise, but you won't get anywhere. The only way to beat the Republicans is to run within their own party as a nationalist candidate. Now, you have to know what a nationalist is so that you're not afraid of it. You have to understand that you can be a liberal nationalist. You don't understand that either. There does not have to be an ethnic center to a nationalist phenomenon. It doesn't have to be one ethnicity. That's what people are going to tell you, that you're a racist. You don't have to go there. What you have to understand is that there's a thing called liberal nationalism, which is a paradox in a way. Liberal nationalism is a group of people who identify as belonging to the nation, who have equal and shared political rights and allegiance to similar political procedures. So you can be a liberal and be a nationalist. I could explain that. I could win over tens of millions of people. I could be the man to do it, but I don't want to be the man to do it. I'm a radio host, period. I am an architect. I am not the builder. And I don't intend to lead a revolution. Remember this. You cannot base a nationalist party on ethnic ancestry. This is about a political identity. This is about an identity related to a nation where people of any ethnic background share an allegiance to similar political beliefs, borders, language, and culture. It's a non-xenophobic nationalism. It's compatible with John Stuart Mill's ideas, liberal ideas of, which we all learned in college, of freedom, tolerance, equality, and individual rights. So it doesn't matter whether you call yourself a liberal or a conservative, whatever, a vegetarian, I don't care what you call yourself. The important thing to remember is that we all occupy the same nation. We all must rally around our national identity. We must have a national identity in order to lead meaningful lives. And that means that we must recover our national identity, and we must fight the international socialists who have destroyed our identity. Many people who are mentally upset, let's put it that way, in this country, are upset for many reasons. And one of the reasons they're upset is because they have no nation to identify with. They're naturally good people, naturally strong people, naturally patriotic people, and they want to identify with pride. They want to identify with pride. They want to salute the flag. They want to salute the flag. They want to relate to America and its history. Of course, they're welcoming to all people if they come here legally and wait online like their ancestors did. Of course they understand it's a nation of laws, but they don't like a president who selects which laws he will break on a daily basis. And they don't know which way to turn. But I can guarantee you there are tens of millions of people who would suddenly feel a surge of sanity and health raging through their being if they had a nation to believe in again. And that's why I tell you we need a nationalist candidate. Remember, I'm not reading from a script. So if I think out loud and I am not as articulate as I can be sometimes, it's because I'm exploring as we talk. I'm taking chances as we talk. I'm not taking the lazy man's voyage with you today. And I want to go back to something. Back in 1821, don't go to sleep, I go to sleep. And the minute I heard a date in history in high school, I go to sleep and start sticking bubble gum on the seat in front of me. In 1821, there was a Greek War of Independence. Do you know what it was? It was a rebellion by Greek nationalists against the ruling Ottoman Empire. The ruling Ottoman Empire were Muslims who had conquered Greece and other nations that were once independent. And the Muslims became intolerable because they were intolerant. And so a group of nationalists in Greece got together, got weapons, and had a Greek War of Independence as a rebellion against the ruling Muslim Ottoman Empire. You may not know that. This is very serious business. And you have to understand where this comes from and where this goes. And you have to understand what is at stake. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. I am not defining America in terms of ethnic purity. I am defining America in terms of its borders, which everyone knows what they are except Obama and his socialist minions, and our common core language of English. English, English, English. Learn it, learn it, learn it. It's the national language. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to play for you a one-minute clip that we found in the archives from a few years ago just to show you some of my bona fides. I've been at this for quite a while. Listen to this now. Savage is flourishing all across America. So my clannish blood and soil right-wingism may be outside the mainstream of American conservatism because American conservatism is dead. There is no American conservative movement. If you're only going to talk about fiscal conservatism, that is very, very nice, very important. But that's only a minor part of the conservative movement. As far as I'm concerned, a very minor part. There's cultural conservatism, and there's nationalism. And I am a nationalist, my friend, and I'm glad to be outside the mainstream of American conservatism, because there is no American conservatism. There must be a new nationalism for this nation to be here in 20 or 30 years. And if I'm the only one saying it, or the first one saying it, I'm not going to be the last. I guarantee you I am not going to be the last. I'm predicting that there'll be a big nationalist movement in this country, and it's going to come fast and furious from an unknown source, and that source is going to be the youth of America. The youth of America is going to hit these mainstream conservatives and these wobbly leftists over the head overnight. They're not going to know what hit them. They're going to push them out of the way as irrelevant toadies who are incapable of defending this nation. And if you think 9/11 was bad, you're right. But it's nothing compared to what's coming tomorrow, because both parties are wrapped up in party rights, not America's rights. Now, you can take this speech all the way to the bank, because every word I just said should be written down and set in stone. Call it the foundation of a new American nationalism.
Savage.
No, that's not too bad, is it? That's not too bad. I took some chances. I defined what I think should be done to save this country from the internationalists who are unraveling our nation that was built up over several hundred years. Who gives Obama the right? Who gave this man from Nowhereville the right to destroy our country? Did you vote? Did you vote for the Democrats to destroy your country? Did you say, yes, I want you to destroy my borders, Dianne Feinstein? Yes, Harry Reid, I'm really happy that you're destroying our borders, our language, and our culture, Harry. Here's your pass to the future. You didn't tell Harry Reid and Dianne Feinstein and the other demagogues that you wanted your nation to be unraveled, did you? Let's put aside the greed and the venality of these people. Let's put aside all of the Sopranos-like behavior that we saw going on just a few days ago, where Mitch McConnell, the gobbler, the so-called Republican gobbler, who I never trusted, he gave me the creeps from day one. Sometimes you can tell a lot about a man by how he looks. And the gullet, the gobbler's gullet, told me there was something wrong there. And when I saw him pretending to be Mr. Republican, holding out against Obama, for Obamacare, all he was holding out for was a little shakedown job. So he got a $2 billion slush fund for a dam that nobody wants. $2 billion for Kentucky. Well, Rand Paul is also from Kentucky. Has Rand Paul said, oh, I'm going to reject that $2 billion slush fund? Has Rand Paul said, this is terrible for my state? Has Rand Paul said, I'm a principled man, and based on this principle, I am not going to dispense any of these monies for this dam project because it's nothing but a dam project? No, he didn't. So if you think there's a difference between one party and the other, well, tell it to me. Show me how they differ. Show me where they differ. The only way out of this morass is a nationalist candidate on the Republican ticket in 50 states. If I were 20 years younger, I would leave radio and I'd run. But I'm not going to do it. So don't think I'm running for office. I am not. I'm going to continue to be the architect of such an individual's campaign, but I'm not going to be the campaigner. I'll tell you that right now. And I can guarantee you all hell will come down upon that candidate. I can guarantee you. The leftist fanatics who are funded by George Soros and others, in my estimation, will bring criminal charges against anyone who dare stand up for America. If they will not arrest criminal illegal aliens blocking a federal deportation bus, but support them, I can guarantee you that if they'll close off the war memorials to veterans in wheelchairs, this criminal band will arrest you if you run as a nationalist. Just as other individuals who've had to go to jail. Even Nelson Mandela went to prison. Think about it. What was Nelson Mandela standing up for in a certain way? Think about that. He was standing up for a sort of nationalism, wasn't he, for his own people? He was a hero, and is a hero of so many people. Not all nationalists who were arrested by an oppressive ruling class were fascists. Some were nice people, good people, wonderful people like Nelson Mandela. So you can use Nelson Mandela as your model if you'd like and stand up to the criminal bands that are literally carving a nation to pieces, throwing it away and giving it away. You don't have to let them push you into the camp of Hitler. You don't have to let them say, oh, well, you know, Hitler was also put in jail because he was a nationalist. You can say, well, that may be true, but so was Nelson Mandela put in jail. So you have to have some historic knowledge in order to stand up to the machine and the opposition, which is going to come at you like you can't believe. Just expect it. Don't think you're going to be loved and revered. What do you think? It may sound wonderful to run as a nationalist and to declare yourself as such, but I'm warning anyone who's thinking about it to think very carefully. You're going to have to be ready to take hell on earth from the power structure that is out to destroy the nation. They were ready to destroy Syria for personal gain. They will do anything to hold on to power. If they will bomb and destroy a nation, do you remember them calling for blood in Syria? Remember that? Do you remember John Kerry calling for blood in Syria? Obama calling for blood in Syria? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember who called for blood? John McCain, that psychotic old man, called for blood in Syria, or else he said the war will come here. Do you remember the liars and the lies that came out of their mouth? They were willing to blow up a nation for greed. For greedy reasons. No one blew up Syria. Look at that. Nothing happened. Nobody blew up Syria. There were no bombs, no U.S. Air Force planes flying over Assad's palace. And look what happened. Nothing. Gee, I thought the world was going to come to an end, according to Obama and McCain and John Kerry. They were lying. They were willing to destroy a nation simply because some people had an oil pipeline that was going to run through that territory, and they wanted that territory for the oil pipeline. I discussed it in great detail. If they're willing to go to war for such a venal reason, do you think they're going to let a single individual stand up to the power structure? They will come at you in ways you could never imagine. Before that individual does it, he or she is going to have to think very carefully about what they're doing, and they're going to have to build an army around them of supporters, then step out. Obama, in front of your nose, is bringing in an army of hardened gangbangers, hidden amongst the babies and the mothers. But you're so stupid that you're concerned about a ball in Brazil. I've got nothing more to say. I'm more concerned about the boys in Brazil than the ball in Brazil. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.